The Dog Show with Julie Forbes is brought to you by All the Best Pet Care. All the best food, treats, and toys for your dog and cat. Find them online at allthebestpetcare.com. The Dog Show is also brought to you by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence, for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all
welcome
right.
To the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And it's good to be here today, as always. Had a wonderful guest last week. We were talking with John Katz, author of Soul of a Dog, and his book and his life with his dogs on his farm in upstate New York. And it was a really, really wonderful interview, and he is a wonderful man, and it was a very well-timed show. I mentioned a little bit last week that I had to put down my 12-year-old, what I thought was a shepherd mix for many years, but actually ended up being a lab sighthound mix, Chewy. And it all happened pretty fast. I didn't talk too much about it last week because I wasn't sure how much I would be able to talk about it because it had just happened a few days before that. But it's been quite a time. It's been about a week and a half now, and I've never really had to go through this before with any being this close to me. You know, I've lost grandparents and stuff like that, which is hard, but you know, I spent pretty much every day for 12 years with him, and so I'm really learning a lot about myself and just a ton of reflection happening as a result of, you know, having to go through this and go through this grieving process in a way that I've never had to before. So I'm going to talk about some different aspects of that. And I would really love to hear from listeners out there who have something to share, maybe an experience that you had in losing a dog or questions about it. I would really, really love to talk to people out there listening. It's been really helpful for me talking with people in my life who have gone through this before because I know that they know how hard it is. So, and I, as always, have some wonderful things to give away to people who call in. So I have, again, this week, $50 in wellness pet food gift vouchers to give away to the first caller. So all you have to do is give us a call and we'll get those out to you. Wellness has supplied me with many gift vouchers to give away over the next several shows. So
cool.
We've got those to give away. So you can give us a call anytime this show, starting now, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So last week I was out of sorts quite a bit, and I don't even think I acknowledged you the whole show, Eric, so I apologize
for
that.
That's all right.
I was just really trying to get through it.
Well, you had that going on, and of course the big interview with Mr. Katz, so
yeah,
I'm glad you managed to maximize the time with him, because it was a really interesting interview.
Yeah.
And maybe the first time cats have been on the Dog Talk Show.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we had Kat Albrecht.
That's true.
Missing Pet Partnership.
Something of a trend here with people with cat in their name writing about dogs.
Yeah, and his book is really actually, I wasn't quite done with it last week, and I've since finished it, and it's been really helpful to read that book. You know, going through what I'm going through, it's a wonderful, wonderful book. I really recommend, if you've ever been close to a dog, to read this book, Soul of a Dog by John Katz, K-A-T-Z. And you can find it. I asked him where people can get the book, and he said anywhere books are sold. So definitely check that out. So first of all, well, it was a really interesting experience with Chewy because it kind of happened fast. And he kind of crashed on a Saturday, and then it was like the next Thursday, took him to the vet because he crashed again and found out that he was bleeding into his abdomen. So, you know, that's, I've never gotten news like that from a vet, and it was like, ooh, that's real. That's not like, oh, because he's had broken teeth.
And now, was there a traumatic accident or something that would have caused that?
It can be caused by that, but he most likely had a tumor or tumors attached to, you know, something, his spleen, his liver, you know, something in there, and that was causing him to bleed. But we have Shelly in Redmond on line one, who sounds like she has something to share. Hi, Shelly.
Hello.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you had made a request to talk to somebody that has had to put their pet down or lost a pet.
Yeah.
And about 8 months ago, my little girl, Abigail, she was 12, came down with diabetes. And she was having a really hard time adjusting to the insulin shots. We couldn't get the right dosage, and she was just tired all the time. And I, against my family's better wishes, I could just tell in her eyes that she was done. And I had her put down, and, you know, it was really hard. Close isn't even the word. Everywhere I went, she went and slept with me in the bed and the covers. And it was funny. The thing that I was missing the most, besides her companionship, and I didn't know it until she was gone, was hearing her little toes click on our linoleum kitchen floor. And one night I was crying. It was about 3 days afterwards, and I said, Abby, I miss hearing your toes click. And the next time I got up from the couch and walked across, she walked behind me and let me hear her toes click.
Wow.
And it just kind of let me know that she was okay.
Yeah.
And it was really settling. And I haven't had to ask since, but I think that if I asked her, she'd let me hear them again. But it was just enough to know she was still around. That's the new puppy. Sorry about that.
New puppy has something to say too, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, but, you know, I know she's there. So it was really comforting.
Yeah, you know, it's two things that come to mind for me is the, you know, having to make that decision, because that's what I was faced with very quickly, was, okay, what's the choice that I'm going to make given the information that I now have? And that, you know, my main instinct was to protect him. And it was like, okay, well, you know, he's 12. The chances for surgery were really not good. And I didn't want to wait for a crisis to put him down. So I just decided to let him go. And it was such a hard decision to make, to end your dog's life when they're still alive. And, you know, you're the one who has to kind of pull the cord, so to speak. And I can appreciate how hard it must have been for you to make that decision, even when you are having disagreement from the people in your life, but when you felt in your gut that she was just ready. And I definitely felt with Chewy that, you know, he was just ready. It was his time, and that I could let him go.
I was so concerned with it that I called. I was driving down to California a couple weeks ago, and I called. There was a radio show with a pet psychic, and it was funny because Abigail, before I even mentioned anything, had jumped. I hadn't seen her jump in years. Jumped into her, so that she literally just bounced right into her brain, and all she was saying was thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
So your mom's instincts,
yeah,
your instinct was right, and you need to know that.
Yeah, and that's something that I really, you know, want to let people know, you know, if when they're faced with this decision. And I was fortunate to have really wonderful vets who told me this as well, in addition to my friends and family, was, you know, it's such a hard decision to make, but to listen to your gut And my gut was clear. My head wasn't clear, but my gut was clear. You know, I was present to this sort of sense of peace around his death, and that it just was his time. And it's my head and my heart that were having a hard time kind of dealing with it. But, you know, just so important to trust that instinct, and that nobody knows your dog like you do, and nobody knows, you know, what's best for them and what they would want you to do, because you can't ask them, really.
Yep, your instinct is definitely the way to go, and I wish you all the best, and I will pray for comfort angels to be around you.
Well, thanks. Now, what's your new puppy's name?
Israel. We call him Izzy.
And is he a beagle?
He is, for the first time ever since I was born, we've had purebred beagles. He is a beagle cocker spaniel mix. He jumped while I was Googling beagles, and he popped up, and I knew immediately when I saw his picture. I drove to another state to get him.
Yeah.
And he's a mixed breed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I heard some beagle in that bark.
Yep.
Yeah.
A little bit of a bay, but not too much.
Yeah.
But a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Shelley, thanks so much for calling in and sharing your story. And we are going to get $50 in wellness gift vouchers out to you. Did we get your address yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, we're going to send you back to Darcy and get your mailing address, and we'll get those out to you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for calling in. All right. You know, that was a big part of the, you know, the first part of going through it, kind of being in shock, but just really having to go off of instinct. And, you know, Shelley said, you know, that it is a mothering instinct. And I can definitely identify with that, because that is a lot of how I felt. You know, I'm clear that Chewy was not a human child. He was a dog, but it was my role to protect him and to caretake him. And, you know, he did that. He returned that to me as well. But it's a very powerful instinct, and to really listen to that when you're faced with such a hard decision. Should I pursue surgery? Should I put him through that? Would I be doing that just for me or for him? And kind of being clear about that. But, you know, they say listen to your gut for a reason, and it's really down in that root that you know, I think, that it's either the right time or not. And that was really what I was able to be present to, and I'm definitely really grateful for that, because that's what's kind of keep, you know, getting me through this other stuff as well. So thanks for calling in, Shelley. Well, we're going to take a break, and we will be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to the Northwest School of Animal Massage, we cover the world of animals. This week, two of our most popular guests ever, adventure travelers Helen and Bill Thayer, will join us live. We'll hear all about their most recent adventure when they walked 900 miles through four Sahara Desert countries, along with their four camels and a native Berber family looking for a better water supply. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Your dog has digestive upset.
You want answers.
Your dog has itchy skin.
You want answers.
Your dog has kidney disease.
You want answers.
Your dog is overweight.
You want answers. Go to AnswersPetFood.com to find the answers as to why you want to feed Answers Pet Food to your dog with these issues. Answers Pet Food. If you have questions, we give you answers.
Don't touch that dial. You might miss something life-changing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Futuristic Power.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we're talking today about losing your dog, because that's happened to me, and it happened to me a couple weeks ago, week and a half ago. And I know that there's a lot of people out there who are either going through this now or have gone through this at some point, and I'm now a member of that club, too, because he was my first of my own. And it's quite an experience.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot of feelings. I'm learning a lot about myself. And there's lots of different, just kind of different aspects, you know. And, you know, I'm going to talk in this show today about my dachshund, who, you know, he was her boy too, and you know, I got her when he was about six, and she was 7 weeks old, so she lived with him all of her life as well. And my observations about her and kind of what I learned about, if you have to put a dog down and then you have dogs still in your pack, you know, you have a multiple dog household, what I found for my dogs anyway to be really helpful in getting them through that grieving process too. So we had a caller in the last segment who shared her story of her 12-year-old beagle that she had to put down, I think she said, about 8 months ago. And we sent her off. We will be sending her off $50 in Wellness Natural Pet Food gift vouchers. And Wellness Natural Pet Food has a balance of lean meats and whole grains and fruits and veggies, and guarantees that the quality of all the ingredients is never compromised. And you can find out about retailers of wellness food at wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. And there's exclusive savings offers on that website as well. And that's wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. And we gave away $50 in gift vouchers already. I'm going to give away another $50 in gift vouchers today to the next caller who has something to share about the experience of losing a dog, or maybe you have an older dog and you're kind of starting to think about that or dreading that, as I did, and really accepting that he was now an older dog and all that kind of stuff. So give us a call, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And we will send you out $50 in gift vouchers, and you can also talk to us about your experience, either having lost a dog, or maybe you're kind of facing that decision and you have questions about that. I would really love to talk with you, because I've just recently gone through that, and it really helps to talk to people who understand your experience. So give us a call, 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. For the next caller, we will be giving you $50 in Wellness Natural Pet Food gift vouchers. Good deal.
Very good.
So, Eric, you had a... you've talked about the dog that you used to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, you Duke.
Duke.
Yes.
And you were out of the house when Duke had to be... put down.
Yeah, he was my dog and one of my best friends actually when I was in high school, mm-hmm. and after high school I ended up moving up from California up to Washington. And about 5 years after I moved out, actually, he had, I guess, a degenerative disease. So his hips actually kind of disintegrated, unfortunately, mm. and he had to be put down, or my mom actually had to make the decision to put him down so that he wasn't in a lot of pain for his remaining years.
Yeah.
And then she gave me the news afterwards. And I'm just very happy that I didn't have to make that call, because I don't know if I could have made that decision. I think I would have had to have somebody else do it for me, because again, he was like my best friend while I was growing up, and so losing him was hard enough being away from him, you know, for that 5 years. But if I had still been living there, it would have been really, really hard.
It's something for sure.
And it's still something that I think back on, and it still kind of makes me sad, you know.
Yeah.
Still miss him, you know.
Yeah, I think I'll miss Chewy for the rest of my life. It's probably not gonna hurt so bad as it does now, but you know, and he was with me from age 20 to 32, and mm-hmm. I mean, talk about getting me through some times.
I imagine, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know, and just doing so much reflecting on what I learned about love through him and, mm-hmm. and all this, it's quite impressive. But I've said that he's sort of like my handrail or my guardrail through that very intense decade plus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he definitely gave back to me what I put into him. And one of the things that I'm present to in the grieving process is how blessed I feel to have had him with me, mm-hmm. and that he kind of came to me and found me, and you know, he was just my buddy for, you know, through some pretty tough times and a move across the country and lots of breakups and all that kind of stuff. So, well, we have a Hilda in Seattle with a story. Hi, Hilda. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
So do you have a story about a dog?
Oh, I have a kind of wonderful, but also a sad story about a dog. It's been 3 years, August 28, that he was put to sleep. He was 17.
Wow.
He lived on the street at the Seattle University Village for 7 years.
Uh-huh.
Totally on his own.
Huh.
I seen him on television on Channel 7 one noon, and they were telling, you know, that QFC is going to have grand opening, and they have this little wild dog running around. And they want him out of there.
Uh-huh.
And they had set traps and animal control, try to catch him and everything. Well, anyhow, I love dogs. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go over there and check it out. And I went over there, and I seen him. He was sitting on the retaining wall, but, you know, he paid no attention to me. But I left some food and fresh water. And I went back every day, sometimes 2 and 3 times, and I didn't see him. And I went back for 14 months every day. And then finally, when they had grand opening, you know, for the store, I asked the contractor if he could build a dog house, a large dog house. He wouldn't go into anything small. And he agreed. He was a wonderful man. And anyhow, 14 months later, one evening at 7:30, we had a little snow, and I was there at 1 o'clock. And I could see footprints around the doghouse. And I went there at 7:30. And he was in there, in the doghouse, all curled up in the sleeping bag that I had put in. And the doghouse, you know, there was a Mr. Hoffman there. He had a contracting business. He
uh-huh.
He gave me the key to the gate and everything. He was also very nice and helpful. Anyhow, he had given me some bricks and boards, you know, to block off the front door to the doghouse.
Yeah.
And I did that. And then the contractor had asked me to make a little sketch, you know, for the doghouse. And I said, yes, the roof should have hinges so I can lift it up to clean and all this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, he was in there, and I quickly lifted up, and I threw a blanket on top of him. And I just jumped on top of him. You know, I was 70 then. I'm 80 now.
Wow.
And, yeah. Anyhow, I got him in a carrier, and I got him in a car, and I got him home, and I had him upstairs in the room for like 3 weeks, and he was very nice. I had a big, huge cookie sheet in there covered with paper, and he did piddle on it. He was, you know.
Uh-huh.
But then he kind of huddled always in the corner, and then I kind of sat down next to him once, and I scooted over to him, and I just talked to him, and I just said, you live in the house now, and you're going to be okay, and my God, it was like a miracle. He let me touch him.
And did he learn to just really be comfortable with you after some time?
Yes, yeah. I lived alone, and I tell you, it's the hardest thing, and we had nice, good 10 years together.
Mm.
And, you know, he had a bad heart murmur, and he had glaucoma at the end, and I went to holistic vets, all the vets around here, Elliott Bay, everywhere. They could not remove the bad eye because he had this bad heart murmur, and, you know, he would have not. He was 17 by then.
Yeah.
And you can't be selfish, you know. You really, I didn't want him to go, but you can't be selfish.
Yeah.
The medicine, the pain medicine, you know, it would have harmed his stomach and everything, and we did it.
So you decided to let him go?
August 28, 1996. Yes, it's horrible. Yeah. You know, I still, I have pictures all over him, and you know, we went to Europe together as wild as he was 3 times.
Wow!
I had him in the airplane and he in a Sherpa bag, and he was fine.
He's been to Europe 3 more times than I have. Then
yeah. Well, I have an old brother over there. He's 83, and we went 3 times, and he loved it. He loved it over there, and. I called then, after he was put to sleep, I called Channel 7, Steve Rabel, he looked in the archive, you know, and sent me the tape.
Oh, yeah.
And the script, you know, when they went over there to interview the workers that built QFC, you know, I mean, it was just...
Well, that's amazing. I can just picture you as a 70-year-old woman jumping into a...
Well, I was then 77 when he passed away, you know, he was, I tell you, perfect. I have another little dog right now that somebody rescued at an Indian reservation over by Richland.
Uh-huh.
And this little girl also lived at a landfill for 7 months on her own.
Mm.
And this man works for Indian Affairs, and he went there on a complaint about oil spill or something, and he caught her. You know, it took him 4 days, and she's gonna be here now October 6th, 2 years.
Oh, good.
She too was wild, and she's still a little bit, you know, a little bit of a little beastie, but she's coming along.
Well, it sounds like you have a really wonderful. Natural connection with dogs, and your commitment to rescuing them is wonderful.
I'm kind of a magnet, I think, for those throwaway little animals.
Yeah.
You know, I also have 3 kitties, and I have a pigeon without no feet that I rescued down on Market Street.
Wow.
And I have a 64-year-old cockatoo.
Well, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your wonderful story about capturing him.
I feel your pain. It's the worst.
Yeah, thanks, Hilda.
It is the worst.
All right, did we get your address yet?
Yes, you did.
Okay, wonderful. We'll get
thank you for talking about animals. I mean, I just love them, and especially the older ones, you know.
Yeah.
That they're close to their end, life's end. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
They absolutely wonderful, you know, they want. And we had 10 good years with Cooey, you know.
Good.
And I thank him for being so good, if he can hear me.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hilda. Okay,
thank you. Bye-bye.
Now that's a story.
Mm-hmm.
14 months, she went back and went back and went back.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. I can just picture her... telling them to put a hinge on the roof so that she could come in from the top and basically putting a blanket on the dog and then just jumping in there. I mean, that's exceptional. That's extraordinary. And that dog's been to Europe 3 more times than I have. So.
Yeah, he's quite an adventurer.
Yeah. I'm going to go live with Hilda and maybe get some trips to Europe out of it. That's great. Yeah, it's been...
you know, it's just, it's something that so many people can relate to, and it's been really helpful to talk with people who just really acknowledge that it is not for everybody, but for a lot of people, it is losing a family member. I mean, like you said, your dog Eric was like your best friend through high school. And
yeah, Duke was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and talk about traumatic times, high school.
I know, really.
That can be a tough time for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So. Couldn't pay me enough to get to go back there. You know, it's interesting, too, because with as much as I'm, you know, noticing about my own feelings going through the grieving process, losing Chewy, who was my dog for 12 years, sometimes I kind of catch myself like, wait a minute, like I'm embarrassed, or that I feel like, is this appropriate for me to be feeling such intense feelings over his loss, given that he was a dog?
Right.
And I mean, obviously, here I host a talk radio show all about dogs. Yes. I write about dogs. I work with dogs. I basically devote my life to them. But it is kind of, and I bet other people feel this too. And I'm certainly fortunate enough to be surrounded by people who really acknowledge and validate how hard this is to go through. But I imagine there's probably some people who don't have that human support around them in going through losing a pet, because not everybody really views dogs as their family member. I mean, more and more these days, you know, they're surveying people in this country, and, you know, 50 years ago, it was like flip-flopped. I think John Katz last week in our interview had said that there was a Harvard study or something like that, and it was like 90-something percent of people asked in 1960 said that dogs were not, that dogs didn't have souls, and 3% said they did or something like that, and that they did that survey again recently, and it was actually like flopped, like 90-something percent of people said, yeah, of course dogs have souls. And
well, we know now that all dogs go to heaven.
Well,
so,
thanks to Disney.
Yes, thanks to Disney. So clearly they got to have something.
Yeah. And it brings up a lot about, you know, spiritual beliefs, and death really is something to go through. So I've got a lot more to talk about this when we come back. I'm going to talk about my little Leia, my little dachshund, and her experience, what I've observed of her experience going through this loss as well, and what I've learned about that too. So stay tuned in. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
A black-eyed dog, he called at my door. A black-eyed dog, he called for more. A black-eyed dog, he knew my name.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com or follow them on Facebook.
Family owned since 1975, Dr. Don's Automotive has been awarded Best Auto Repair from Seattle Magazine, Seattle Weekly, and Ballard News Tribune. Dr. Don's Automotive offers a free 35-point inspection. It's winterization time. Remember to have your coolant, tires, brakes, hoses, and belts checked to keep you and your dog safe this winter. Visit drdonsautomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Do you know there is an insurance company that offers great rates, quality service, and cares about your furry companions? Progressive will help cover the cost of your vet bills if you and your pet are involved in an accident. Call the good guys at Eastside Insurance, who represent Progressive Insurance and other fine companies. Contact Tom or Chuck at e-z-insurance.com for a free quote, or call 877-817-4103. Eastside Insurance, where you and your pet can rest insured.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
All right. Go ahead. A little delay.
Yeah, it took me a second to recue that.
Silence.
Sorry about that.
Silence in the intro. Welcome
back. A moment
back.
Of silence for all our
yes,
past dogs.
Yes, that's right. Very appropriate, Eric. Thank you. Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150. And I'm talking with listeners and talking about sharing my experience of losing my 12-year-old dog, Chewy, about a week and a half ago, rather suddenly. And it's definitely a... there's just so much to the experience. I've never had to grieve a being as close to me as he was. And I'm learning a lot about myself. I'm learning a lot about the grief process. And I've learned a lot about my little dachshund, Leia, who is 6.5. And, you know, I got her at 7 weeks. And so, Chewy raised her as much as I did. And she was with him when I wasn't with him, you know, since I got her. If I would leave the house and leave the dogs at home, it would be them hanging out together. And I'd be out doing whatever I was doing. So, yeah, I was definitely concerned about her and what her experience was. And we decided to actually bring the dogs, Leia and Levi, our year-old cattle dog, actually into the room with us for the euthanasia, to be with Chewy and to kind of be there for that, so that they kind of understood what happened, like that we didn't just leave the house with him and leave them at home and then come back without him and have them continue to look for him or maybe not understand. You know, I don't know what, you know, really how dogs think and what that really looks like and kind of what their thoughts look like and all that kind of stuff. But it seemed like it would be appropriate there as much of the pack as we were, and that it would help them to kind of be a part of that, and that, you know, it's death is as natural of a phenomenon as birth is. And I think especially in this culture, we're really afraid of death, understandably so, but it's, you know, I think maybe sort of swayed in where we do everything that we can to prevent death when really it's just part of the deal, and that it's okay, even though it's hard, that it's okay. And that's been something that has helped me sort of deal with my grief around, you know, Chewy's absence, is just knowing that, you know, it's not something that I have control over, and there's really no point in resisting it because it's going to happen whether I resist it or not. So, but Leia, so we were in the room and I was sitting with Chewy in between my legs, and the dogs were hanging out, and they definitely knew something was going on, and she knew that he was not well. She had been sticking pretty close to him for at least a few weeks, maybe even longer than that. You know, in hindsight, she was sleeping more with him and was just really kind of sticking close. And when he'd get acupuncture for his back, she would actually lay against him during that. I think she was kind of trying to get in on it. And so he was in between my legs, and the vet had given him a sedative just to relax him a little bit, but he was still, you know, very much conscious. And I was just kind of holding him, and he was just kind of laying there, just kind of laying upright. And Leia was kind of on the bed next to him. And then my vet, you know, gave him the shot of pentobarbital, which is actually what euthanizes them. And as soon as he started to administer the shot, Leia got up and moved around to my back and laid across my back, up against my back, and I had Chewy in between my legs. So she knew something was going on and didn't like it. And then, you know, Chewy left. I felt him go. I knew when he went, and it was before his heart had stopped beating. I could feel him let go, and I knew that he was gone. And on the way home, you know, we stayed in there for probably a half an hour with him, and after he was put down, and just kind of talking to him and thanking him and telling him how beautiful I always thought he was, and that it was okay for him to go. It was really important for me that he really felt that it was okay, that I would be okay, and that he could go. And we were in the car on the way home, and Leia was in the front seat. Darcy was holding her on her lap, and she was saying how she felt really heavy, and then she started making this sound that was like a really strange whine. It was almost sounded like a wheeze, but it was a whine. And it was like a dog version of crying was what it felt like. It was just like, ugh. And she was depressed for like 3 or 4 days, really depressed. And I mean, you know, and obviously, I mean, it's appropriate that she would feel that way, but it was hard for me to see her depressed. It was kind of breaking my heart twice to see her sad. I didn't want her to feel sad, but then I kind of, after a little while, realized it's okay for her to feel sad. So do I, and it's appropriate. But I actually talked with somebody who randomly called me, somebody that I met when I was doing a talk at Pharmaca in Seattle, just someone who wandered in and who had just lost one of his dogs and had a dog that he and his partner had still, and he was really concerned. And I got a random call from him, and he suggested that I take out Chewy's bed and bowl and those kinds of things because Leia's bed was next to his, and that might help her to move on, because with the way that dogs think and the way that dogs are present, it might just sort of keep reopening the wound in a way that's not productive, to keep things around. You know, if she was there, she saw, you know, she witnessed what happened, she saw Chewy go and witnessed his death, then it wouldn't necessarily make sense to her dog brain that his scent was still around really strongly, that his bed was still there, and that it was actually, you know, that she wasn't experiencing that as I was. For me, it was kind of a bittersweet, you know, sort of comforting, but also sort of painful to see his bed especially. But for her, I think it was just really confusing. So I took the bed out, I washed it, and took his bowl out, and that seemed to really help. And I also did something too that I, you know, learned from for sure, but I have a bag of his hair that smells like him, and it's a Ziploc bag, and I can, you know, go in and smell him still and feel his hair and that kind of thing. And it was just a few days after he died, and I had my hand in it, and I was feeling his hair, and then, you know, closed the bag and decided to, like, let Leia smell my hand. So I did. I put my hand down, and she sniffed it, and it was, like, not a good thing to do. I definitely have not done it again since then, and I don't recommend that anybody else does this with their dog. But it really freaked her out. She was like, oh, my God. Ah! And ran, you know, she took off and ran away and was just like really noticeably freaked out. And I imagine, I guess I would liken it to a human seeing a ghost, because a dog's sense of smell is like their eyesight. So, you know, their sense of smell is their primary sense. It's like our sight. For people who have sight, it's what we get most of our information from the environment with, and so for her it's scent. And so to have her smell his scent after, when she knows that he's gone, just totally whacked her out. And I felt really bad and kind of like a jerk for doing that, but I didn't know, obviously, and haven't done it since then. But she's doing better now, you know, obviously been giving her lots of attention. But they, you know, they go through it too, and I found it to be really helpful to remove his bed and for her, to help her move on, because dogs experience, I think, time differently than we do. You know, if he's gone, he's gone. And for her to be able to move on and adjust to kind of really just get his bed out, get the stuff with a lot of his scent out of the house so that she can move on more naturally. Because I guess in nature, once they're gone, they're gone. Then she can't really comprehend like the memory of him like we do. So it was just really interesting. And it's definitely brought me closer with Leia, going through this together. You know, and knowing that on some level she's feeling what I feel too, in her own way, in her dog way, you know, that he raised her just like I did and that he was really important to her. So it's definitely brought us closer together, and I am really, really glad that I have her still and that I have Levi as well. It's just wonderful to have dogs still around to be with. So we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to An Evolved Perspective on Life with Dogs on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we're talking today about my experience, and we've had some callers talking about your experience. We do have time to take another call if you've lost a pet or a dog, I guess, if you've lost a dog and or maybe you're kind of close to having to make that decision. Please feel free to give us a call. I would love to talk to you. 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And it is something that is certainly part of the deal of living with a dog or living with a pet, that we often have to make that decision of that we probably wouldn't have to make if dogs lived in nature. Somebody told me, you know, something that we forget is that because we bring animals into our houses and live with them in our houses, that we then end up having to often be the ones to have to make that choice of, okay, you know, is it time now to end their life? Because if they lived outside in nature, they probably would have been gone much sooner. And it just, you know, nature takes its course, and they wouldn't have survived as long as they do living in our houses with us, with the, you know, vet care that we have access to and stuff like that. So, you know, it's hard. It was a really hard part for me of the whole experience, you know, my discomfort with having to make the decision, okay, go ahead and end his life, when it's the last thing that I wanted to do. But I felt like it was the only thing that I could do to protect him from suffering. You know, I didn't want to just wait for him to crash and to have to put him down in crisis. I didn't want him to suffer. I didn't want him to die on his own, you know, in a way that was really uncomfortable or scary for him. And, you know, surgery wasn't really a viable option either. I certainly explored that. But with a 12-year-old dog, and just the odds that, you know, this was caused by tumors, very, very likely cancerous tumor, very, very likely that it was an aggressive type of cancer that had spread. You know, it was like, okay, well, there's maybe a, you know, miraculous chance that he would survive. But the risk was that, you know, I go in, put him through surgery, they go in there and open him up and just find tumors everywhere and then have to put him down on the table. And that it was really important for me to be holding him when he left. It was just so important for me, you know, that I got to control his last day, to have, you know, for him to be happy when he went, and to be in my arms seemed like the best thing that I could do for him. But man, it's not easy. Probably the hardest thing that I've had to go through. One of the hardest things for sure. We have Heather in Seattle on line one. Hi, Heather.
Hi, I just tuned in, so I didn't get to hear a lot about what you were talking about, but I understand you just put through having to put your dog to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've had to do it before, and I'm in a position now where I have a very, very old dog.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult because I, too, want to have some control over how it happens, and I struggle every day almost with, do I do it sooner than later so she's at home and comfortable?
Yeah.
Or do I just kind of let things take its course? But I'm also terrified. I don't want to end up in a emergency situation where it's chaotic and stressful and she's at the vet and that sort of thing. So
yeah.
I don't know what your experience was, but I know how hard it is. I mean, even the last two dogs I've had to put to sleep were older, but they were ill, and it was very obvious.
Yeah.
And with my dog, it's like she's just old. She's just really old. She's 16, and she's hanging in there. She loves her walks and loves eating still, but it's still, it's the hardest thing. And I'm sorry. I know how hard it is. So
yeah.
But I don't know. All I can say is I'm sure every dog owner out there has to go through it, just like you said, and it's so difficult to have to make that choice for another living thing. It's really excruciating.
Yeah, it really is, and there's no real easy way around it. It's like damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yeah, and, you know, people have different philosophies. I know people that have let their animals just go and let them go and go and go and die on their own, and I've seen that with other people's pets, and that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I know how hard it is for people to let go. So
yeah.
I'm sure you did the right thing, and that's, you just have to know you do the right thing by your animal. I mean, they know that. So
Well, thanks for your call. We're going to send you back to Darcy to get your information. But thanks for sharing your story and for letting me know that you know how I feel.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Heather.
Bye.
Yeah, you know, something that I was clear about, and it's a really good point that she makes, and that I wanted to clarify for people, because sometimes it is more clear than others. You know, the dog might just get obviously sick and they're obviously having a hard time. And sometimes dogs just sort of fade out slowly and it seems like they're still, you know, doing okay, but at the same time, not. And that it's basically, you know, in making my decision, you can only do the best that you can. But what I was really clear about was that it wasn't about me, that this decision was all about him. And so trying to make my decision based off of his best interest and just being really clear about that and not letting my own needs get in the way when he needs me the most, which was really in his exit. So thanks, everybody, for your calls and anybody who's going through this. I feel ya. And thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Always 1 foot on the ground, and by protecting my heart truly, I got lost in the sounds I hear in my mind. All of these voices I hear in my mind, all of these words I hear in my mind, all of this music, and it breaks my heart, and it breaks my heart, and it breaks my heart. When it breaks my heart, suppose I never ever met you. Suppose we never fell in love.
Views expressed on the preceding.